Our second scripture reading is from the book of Hosea, chapter 1. Listen for and hear the word of God. The word of the Lord that came to Hosea, son of Beeri, in the days of kings Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah of Judah, and in the days of King Jeroboam, son of Joash of Israel. When the Lord first spoke through Hosea, the Lord said to Hosea, "Go, take for yourself a wife of whoredom and have children of whoredom, for the land commits great whoredom by forsaking the Lord." So he went and took Gomer, daughter of Diblaim, and she conceived and bore him a son. And the Lord said to him, "Name him Jezreel, for in a little while I will punish the house of Jehu for the blood of Jezreel, and I will put an end to the kingdom of the house of Israel. On that day I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel." Gomer conceived again and bore a daughter. Then the Lord said to him, "Name her Lo-Ruhamah, for I will no longer have pity on the house of Israel or forgive them, but I will have pity on the house of Judah, and I will save them by the Lord their God. I will not save them by bow or by sword or by war or by horses or by horsemen." When she weaned Lo-Ruhamah, she conceived and bore a son. Then the Lord said, "Name him Lo-Ami, for you are not my people, and I am not your God. Yet the number of the people of Israel shall be like the sand of the sea, which can be neither measured nor numbered. And in the place where it was said to them, 'You are not my people,' it shall be said to them, 'Children of the living God.' The people of Judah and the people of Israel shall be gathered together, and they shall appoint for themselves one head, and they shall take possession of the land, for great shall be the day of Jezreel." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Might there be any Old Testament fans out here? Is there anyone in our midst who happened to read the book of Hosea recently? Anyone? No takers? Well, then you are in for a treat today. Today's lectionary text lets us swim in the prophetic waters from the Hebrew Bible. The lectionary does not let us stay long with Hosea. This week we're in chapter 1, and I'll take us a bit further. Next week the reading is from chapter 11. And then through August and September, we jump right into Isaiah and Jeremiah. This is all we get of Hosea. So with only possibly today, I don't know who will be what scripture will be chosen for next week, we've got to dive right in. The book of Hosea is the first of 12 books of the minor prophets. Amos was a contemporary minor prophet, minor as in shorter book, not less important than Isaiah, Jeremiah, or Ezekiel. Picture Hosea prophesying to the Israelites in Samaria during a 30-year period of national turmoil. During that 30 years, 4 out of 6 kings were assassinated. Underhanded international deals and arrangements were being made with supposed allies in Syria and Egypt. The Israelites, defined as the children of God, were not in control of their lives. There was chaos. It has been observed that Hosea's task was to interpret the unfolding disaster as divine punishment for violation of the exclusive demands of the Lord. Now, I know that teenagers present with us today are model citizens, but there are some teenagers who are not model citizens, and the children of God were acting like that. The children of God were acting in disobedience. They were not following the words given to Moses by Yahweh. The Israelites were making sacrifices on mountains to a Canaanite goddess, putting other gods before the great I Am. The Israelites were having sex with cultic women, birthing illegitimate children, committing adultery. A disregard, perhaps even a disrespect for the law of Yahweh had taken over. People were stealing, committing murder, lying, not keeping the Sabbath holy. The situation looked hopeless. What in the world would God have Hosea do? What would God have Hosea tell the people? God instructs Hosea to marry a prostitute as an example of God's relationship with the nation of Israel. This stands out among all the instructions God gives to the patriarchs and the prophets. Short of sending God's only son to take on our sin that the world would not perish, and God's instruction to Abraham to sacrifice Isaac, I'd put this instruction to Hosea in the top five "you've got to be kidding" instructions, wouldn't you? So here we have Hosea, tasked with entering into a marital relationship with a woman who anyone could have told him would promptly break that vow. Gomer was a loose woman, not interested in restricting her behavior in any way, in contrast with some prostitutes who truly had no other means of survival. Apparently, Gomer was on the "I'll do what I want, when I want, and I don't care what you think" plan. Now, Hosea, who had a deep love of the Lord, surely wanted to be obedient and do whatever the Lord wanted him to do. But can you imagine? Can you imagine what Hosea thought when his assignment was to marry a woman of the night? If you were Hosea, might you have questioned the Lord's instructions? Scholars tell us that our lectionary passage is loaded with prophetic signs. First sign: Hosea's marriage to a whorish woman is an indictment of the people of Israel for religious apostasy. Second sign, the name Jezreel for his first child, meaning God sows, is both an indictment and a prophecy of punishment. The indictment is against the reigning dynasty of the northern Israelite kingdom, the house of Jehu, for an act of bloodshed in the valley of Jezreel. The third sign, the name Lo Ruhama, meaning not pitied. Can you imagine having to name your daughter at the instruction of God that her name means not pitied? It's an explanation as the announcement of the end of divine favor for the house of Israel, that is the northern kingdom. And the fourth sign, the name Lo-Ami, meaning not my people. This is for child number 3, and another translation uses this name meaning no kin of mine. This is the announcement of the end of the special relationship between the people of Israel and Yahweh. Based on Israelite behavior, Yahweh had every right to sever the relationship. According to the story, and pardon me, there's just no delicate way to put this, Gomer fooled around and, as could be expected, ended up giving birth to children who were not Hosea's children. It must have been hard for Hosea. Here he was, God's prophet, and he couldn't keep his own house in order. The situation looked bleak for himself and for the nation. But just as Hosea was wedded to and devoted to Gomer, God was wedded to and devoted to the Israelites. Despite Israelites philandering, despite the fact that they were not depending upon God's protection and God's provision and not honoring God's house rules, and despite the fact that they didn't worship Yahweh with due respect, God would not leave God's children. God would, however, punish them for their disobedience. There would have to be a proverbial wilderness period, but even so, God would appear again and bring the people back into right relationship with God. Hosea was to show God's profound love by being faithful to an unfaithful bride. Hosea's faithfulness was to be a reminder that Israel may have broken their relationship with the Lord, but the covenantal God will redeem and restore and reconcile that which is broken. In chapters 1 to 5 of Hosea, the book is filled with words of separation from God. Whoredom, shame, lay waste, languish, orgies, judgment, wrath. By all rights, the Israelites deserved to be punished and abandoned by God. And this is where this type of punishment and judgment story is where so many people today give up on God. They give up on reading the Bible. They give up on doing the right thing when there's no immediate reward, no instant gratification, no visible result. They think they've gone too far. They've made too many bad choices. And they're beyond God's grace. What does it matter anyway? And they miss out. If only they could hang in there until Hosea chapter 6. They would hear Hosea say, "Come, let us return to the Lord." After 2 days, meaning a short period of punishment, the Lord will revive us, and on the third day he will raise us up that we may live before him. Let us know. Let us press on to know the Lord. His appearing is as sure as the dawn. He will come down to us like the showers, like the spring rains that water the earth. The words themselves feel like rain. After 5 chapters of detailing how Israel broke covenant with the Lord, Hosea says, "Come, return, revive, raise, live, know, dawn, showers, rains." Can you feel it? Can you feel the rain? Imagine the days before running water and hot showers, were available. Rain was the way creation was cleansed, humans, animals, plants alike. Can you feel the ache of sin being washed away? Can you feel the pain being released? Can you feel all those choices, all those things said and unsaid, all those things done and undone, being transformed into a knowledge, into a desire to know and love and obey the Lord? Can you feel it? Whoredom is replaced by the invitation to come and return. Shame can be transformed into revive. Lay waste, raise. Languish, live. Orgies, no. Judgment, dawn. Wrath, showers and rain. In these two short verses, Hosea translates the Israelite landscape from a barren brown to a lush green. John Calvin wrote about this passage in Hosea. Reformer John Calvin put it this way: this comparison shows that as soon as God will deign to look on his people, his countenance will be like the rain which irrigates the earth. When the earth is dry after long heat and long drought, it seems to be incapable of producing fruit, but rain restores it to its moisture and vigor. Thus then, the prophet, in the person of the faithful, the prophet Hosea, does here strengthen the hope of a full restoration. Though the Israelites had become so dry that they no longer had any vigor, there would yet be no less virtue in God's grace than in the rain, which fructifies the earth when it seems to be barren. In fact, the sun appearing in the morning, a daily event, and the spring rains, a yearly event, another commentator observed, are two kinds of phenomena that are predictable and certain. To these are compared Yahweh's going forth and his coming. Hosea's message is a summons to the faithful orthodoxy in a national crisis of indefinite duration. That's the commentator's summary. Hosea's message is a summons to faithful orthodoxy in a national crisis of indefinite duration. Hosea calls to us across the ages. Aren't we in some ways like Hosea's philandering Israelites? What do we worship instead of worshiping God? What do we give ourselves to that separates us from God? Perhaps we give ourselves to spending more than we have, living in a brutal cycle of debt. Perhaps we give ourselves to our jobs and our children and our families get the leftover part of us. Perhaps we give ourselves to worshiping, oh, sorry for the thin ice here, but sports. Spending more time playing and watching others play than we spend in worship. I'm not saying sports are bad, but when we spend more time on that than when we spend with God, we need to look in the mirror. Some of us give ourselves to an insatiable desire for entertainment. And then after making these choices, we moan about social ills. Indeed, we, like the Israelites, languish. Some would say it is beyond all hope. Our situation, like the Israelites, could qualify as bleak. We grumble about the youth and their drugs and laziness, and Hosea says, come. We grumble about corporations and their accountability to profits instead of the common good, and Hosea says, return to the Lord. Terrorists and their irrational attacks, Hosea says, revive. Racism and its insidious cousin, incarceration, Hosea says, raise. Political parties and their refusal to work together, Hosea says, live. Child abusers and their sick sense of power, Hosea says, press on to know the Lord. Injustice, inequality, poverty, Hosea says, dawns, showers, and rains. If we don't get distracted, if we don't give up, if we don't lose heart, if we don't stop reading the scriptures, if we don't stop gathering in worship, if we don't stop helping our neighbors, if we stay focused on what God is willing to do to and through us, there is hope. We, as scholars of the word, keep reminding us, we can seek that righteousness, that justice, that steadfast love. We can have true devotion of the divine. Knowledge of God and faithful obedience are interdependent. It's symbiotic. Knowledge of God and faithful obedience. This was Hosea's call to the Israelites. This is Hosea's call to us today. You and I live in an age. We are blessed to live in an age where we know Christ came to show us the way. Christ came not to abolish the law God had given, but to live in the fullness of the law, to show that obedience and boundaries actually give us extreme freedom. So consider, if we individually, or as a congregation, or as a nation, are out of sync with God, if we recognize how deserving we are of God's punishment and God's judgment, if we find ourselves in a wilderness, chapters 1-5 of Hosea, wilderness, be assured that the rains are coming. Be assured the Lord is near. Can you hear the rain? Can you see the Lord? His appearing is as sure as the dawn. Yahweh is constant. Yahweh is faithful. In a short time, he will show himself. Children of God, let us return to the Lord. Thanks be to God. As we press on to know the Lord through worship and prayer and silence and singing, let us stand in affirmation of our faith with him.